You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Thank God for them as well. In our verse in John 16 and 7, Jesus reveals two principles to his disciples. And of course, a disciple is a follower and a learner of Jesus. There were disciples back in Scripture that followed Jesus, and we have disciples in our day and time that still follow Jesus. As young men and young women, again, we need to understand in our verse two principles that Jesus reveals. A principle is an important standard that governs how you think, how you talk, and how you behave. That's what a principle is. It's a standard. And you should govern your life according to certain standards. Now, it's not a main point, but let me just slide through and say this. You should not only have standards, but you should make sure that the people you allow to get close to you have standards as well. You don't need to be a naive young person. Everybody has standards. Some standards are good and some are bad. Some are godly and some are demonic. You have to have enough insight. You got to be clever to evaluate what are the standards of those that I work with, hang around, and so forth. But then also, look at your own life and say, man, do I have solid standards as a young man or as a young woman? How many are still with me by a show of hands? Two standards. The first principle that Jesus reveals in John 16 and 7 is that he tells his disciples the truth. That's what Jesus affirms to his disciples. He said, look, I tell you the truth. And that's a principle that we need to understand that our God stands on. He always tells us the truth. Truth is awkward sometimes because it can help you, but truth can hurt you. Isn't that amazing? The truth can help you, but it can hurt your feelings. And Jesus wanted his disciples to know up front, this is one principle that I have. I tell you the truth. The truth has a number of definitions, but I want you to remember the truth is something that is infallible. Boy, I'm going to drop an SAT word on you. Somebody say infallible. The truth is sure. The truth is guaranteed. It does not fail. The truth is tried and proven. Bottom line, if our God tells us the truth, you can bank on it. He's not going to back up from what he said. If he says a thing, he's able to make what he said good. Tell somebody, Jesus tells us the truth. Let's take this a little further and look at the truth from a biblical standpoint, because it's a very important principle when it comes to our God. Number one, let's look at what the Bible says about the truth. He not only told his disciples the truth, Jesus is the truth. John 14 and 6, many of us learned this when we were children in Sunday school. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Understand something, young people, young adults. There are numerous gods in the land. Jesus is not the only God. There are other gods. But understand, the God that we serve is the true and living God. So much so that he said, look, you don't need to have any other gods before me. I'm the real deal. I'm the judge. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Jesus is the true God. And this is important for young people. The Lord ain't gonna make you serve him. You have to choose to serve the true and living God. When you look in the Bible, there was a man named Joshua, and he told his family and the people of God in his day, he said, look, if you want to serve the other gods that are out here, that are beyond the river and are over here and over there, that's your choice. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve Jehovah. We're going to serve the true and living God. You and I have to make that same stance in our day and time. You have to let your peers know, look, I don't serve the weed God. I don't serve the strip club God. I don't serve any other gods. I serve the truth, the true and living God. Tell somebody, say, Jesus is the true God. Young people, we have to be monotheistic. Serve one God. Not many. How many? One. One God. The second thing I want you to know about truth is that the word is truth. Tell somebody, Jesus is true. The word is true. That's right. Psalm 119 and 60. The entirety of your word is truth. You're going to have social media. But social media in its entirety is not the truth. The entirety of God's word is true. Google in its entirety is not true. You can put an address in and think where you're going is what Google said, only to get there to find out that Google did not tell you the truth. But see, it's not so when it comes to God's word. Every aspect of God's word, according to this verse, is true. So when you need the true answers, you come to God's word. When you go to church, you listen to the preacher, but the preacher need to be able to line up what he's saying with God's word. As long as you're here, that's what we strive to do. But see, you may leave, go off to school, go to the military, and you may be trying to find a place of worship. You just don't go where it's popular. You need to go to where the truth is coming forth. Because if you hear the truth and you allow it to get in you, Jesus taught that the truth would make us, it'll make us free. Not set, it would make us free. So the truth is the word. Say that with me. Say, God's word is the truth. I'm going to deal with this for a few more moments because it's important for young people to have the proper relationship with truth. It's important for you and I to have the proper relationship with truth. And I want to show you why. Notice, if you will, 2 Timothy. Y'all still with me? All right. 2 Timothy 4. And let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, and look at how God's word talks about what we are seeing happen in our day and time. Keep in mind, we're talking about our relationship with the truth. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. For the time will come when they or people will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, notice what people will do. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or lies. See, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul what would happen in the last days. He said, in the last days, you're going to have folk, they don't want to hear sound or godly teaching. And so what they're going to do is they're going to find folk that's going to teach what they want to hear. They're going to find teachers and preachers that's going to teach them things that's going to make them feel comfortable, make them feel good in their sin. And so then he breaks it down. He said, what will happen is these folks will turn their ear away from the truth. They won't even want to hear the truth. According to this verse, they would rather hear a lie. See, when it comes to having the proper relationship with truth, young people, even if truth makes you mad, even if it steps on your toes, even if truth offends you, don't reject it. Don't reject the truth. Get out your feelings and receive the truth. Because I'm telling you, if you come to God's house sooner or later, the truth is going to hurt you. The truth is going to cut you. The truth will follow you from the church to your house. You try to lay to sleep, and the truth will still be talking to you. The truth will be telling you, you know you ain't got no business doing that. You know you don't need to be going there. You know you don't need to be touching. But that truth is real. The truth is alive. But there will come a time, and we're in that day right now, where folk, many folk, don't want the truth. The proper relationship to have with truth is to receive it and don't reject it. Tell somebody, receive the truth and don't reject it. This is what's happening in our day and time. Young people are being deceived. Young people would rather hear lies than hear the truth. Young people would rather dance to lies than dance to truth. No, don't reject it. Even if it exposes you, let truth do its job. Amen. Tell somebody, let truth work on you. How many can confess that the truth does hurt sometimes? Just be honest. How many can confess the truth does hurt? But how many in here at the same time, even though it hurt, you still want the truth? How many in here, your testimony is, look, go ahead, just keep telling me the truth. Even if I don't like it, even if I'm not doing it the way I need to do it, Pastor, keep teaching the truth. Keep preaching the truth. Where you at in here? Anybody in here like that? Anybody in here is a lover of the truth? Let me tell you how bad it got in Scripture before I move on. Paul was teaching and preaching the truth to one church, the Galatian church, and he had to ask him a question. He said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He had to tell a church full of saints, he had to ask them, have now I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? See, what was going on in the Galatian church, when you read chapter number 3, they got the hanging around folk they shouldn't have been hanging around. And Paul said, man, who done bewitched y'all? You started off obeying the truth, now you letting the truth go? Who done put some hoodoo on you? Who done messed you up? And they were getting mad at Paul. And he just wrote, look, now have I become your enemy? You have to be careful, because your preacher and your God-fearing parents, young people, can tell you the truth, and it'll hurt your feelings sometime. It may deal with your own personal desires. But you got to always remember, I got to have the right relationship with the truth. Let's go to Psalm 119. Y'all still with me? All right. While you're going to Psalm 119, let me just tell y'all something. The truth gonna hit all of us. It starts with the one that's proclamating the word. And I have to be prayed up and so bold that even if the truth not only hits me, but if it affects my wife and my two sons that come to the same church, I still got to tell the truth. I said I still got to what? Tell the truth. But I just don't limit it to my family. I got to, whoever God allows me to speak into their hearing, I got to tell them the truth. Psalm 119 and 130. This is important. Again, the relationship with truth as young men and young women is important. Psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Read that with me. Ready, go. I have the way of truth. As a young man or a young woman, the truth can be coming forth. It can be right all day and all night. But you have to choose to practice the way of truth. It has to be your choice. Many of you have been choosing the pathway of truth for years. You have to continue. Some of you, you're just starting. But think about this. It is important for you to make sure you build your life on a foundation of truth. Yes. It's so important. Because the storms of life are going to happen. Trouble will come. Sometimes trouble comes unscheduled and unexpectedly. You can be doing right, but trouble still gonna come. And if your life is not founded on a foundation of truth, you are in trouble. You're gonna be in trouble. Write down this verse I got up here, Matthew 7 and 24. He said, look, I consider a person wise who hears my teachings or my sayings, and they build their house on it. Or he says, on a rock. They have a foundation built on the rock. And then he goes on to talk about how, look, the winds are going to blow and the storms are going to come. But if your life is founded on this foundation, you will not fail. You have to make sure, young people, in every aspect of your life, that you're standing on truth. When it comes to you and your relationships, what is the relationship built on? If it's built on fulfilling the desires of your flesh, you're going to fail. When you get money, you got to make sure that the relationship you have with money is built on the foundation of truth. If you don't practice what you're being taught, When financial trouble comes your way, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. Every aspect of your life, when you wake up, you got to make sure that your life is built upon truth. Because you're not too cute for trouble to come your way. Your grades can't be good enough to keep trouble from coming your way. You can't buy a car fast enough to keep you from experiencing trouble. You can't dress up nice enough to repel trouble. Everyone in life is going to have some trouble. But what sets us apart is when our life is built on a foundation of truth. I'm telling you, you get married, this is my boo, I love you. Look, y'all, I got my ring. Guess what's coming to that marriage? Some trouble. Shoot, I ain't got no kids. Well, guess what? Whether you got kids, I ain't got no kids. Guess what's going to knock on your door? Trouble. You can block it like a spam. It's still coming your way. Trouble got all our number. But the question is, what are you standing on? What are you standing on? If you standing on, look, man, I just smoked my troubles away, you in trouble. Truth must have the proper relationship with us. And I want you to write this down. All of what I'm saying, you can find in Luke 19. 1-9. Y'all write this down. I'm getting ready to move on, but I love this story of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. What was his name? Zacchaeus, young people. When you read Luke 19:1-9, was a chief tax collector. He was a rich man. He was known for being a sinner in his community. And the Bible says he was short. But one day, the truth, or Jesus, was coming through his town named Jericho. And this rich, short, sinful man, he wanted the truth. And so it was a crowd around Jesus. And just imagine this short man. He couldn't get to Jesus. So what he did was he wanted the truth so bad, the Bible says he ran ahead. And he climbed up a sycamore tree. Now, check this out. A sycamore tree is a wide and tall tree. Now, a tall brother like me, I got a long wingspan. I could probably wrap my hands a little bit around that tree and try to work my way up. But a short man got a short wingspan. So it may be a little difficult, but the boy put his faith in action. He wanted the truth that bad. So he made his way up the tree, and then Jesus, or the truth, came his way and looked up and saw him and said, look, come on down here quickly. I need to go to your house. See, young people, anytime you hunger and thirst for the truth, the Lord gonna make sure you get filled. If you want what God has for you, he gonna make sure that you get it. And so the truth goes to Zacchaeus' house, a rhema word. The rhema word goes to this man's house, and the truth is received by Zacchaeus. So much so, he says, look, Lord, if I have done anybody wrong, I will restore to them what they say I have stolen fourfold. And Lord, I just get myself together. I'm paraphrasing. See, what I want you to understand about the truth, young folk, is if your life is built on the truth, it'll change you. It'll change you for the better. Jesus, or the truth, looked at him and said, salvation has come unto you. See, his heart was changed. Check this out. Zacchaeus' name means real. It means pure. See, those that have a pure heart or are just being real with God, they'll receive whatever it is that they need to be productive. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a rich man. I may have done folk wrong, but your word has changed me, and I'm willing to get it right. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creation. You just got to be real. You just got to have a pure heart. Every week, young folk, you got to come in here. Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing to get myself together. Whatever you put on the table, if you just help me, Lord, I'll put it into action. You got to be real. Tell somebody you got to be real. You got to be real in every aspect of your life when it comes to dealing with Jesus or the truth, and he will help you. It does not matter what your habits are, your hang-up. He will help you. Tell somebody he'll help you. But you just got to be real. And so Jesus lays down the first principle. I tell you the truth. But then he goes to the second principle. He says, I want y'all to have an advantage in life. I want you to have an advantage. That's what he says. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because God does not change, he still wants his people, specifically young people, to live with an advantage. Does not matter if you come out the projects. Does not matter if you come out of a single parent home, if you've experienced abuse, it does not matter. He still wants you to live with an advantage. He wants you to live with something that's going to give you the edge. You know how sometimes we say it's not what you know, but it's who you know. See, if you take heed to what Jesus is saying to the disciples and get to know the one he's telling them about, you're going to have the edge. It's beneficial, it's profitable for us to take heed to what Jesus is telling his disciples. You want me to live with an edge, Lord? Yes. Now get this, his plan was, in order for y'all to live with this advantage that I'm telling you about, I gotta die. I gotta go away, or I have to die. Then, when I die, I'll be able to send you the helper or the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus' plan? How were they gonna live with an advantage? He had the first what? He had to die, then he was going to send them the helper. What was the plan? He had to what? Die, and then send them the helper. Imagine Jesus and his disciples sitting around. He's saying, look, I'm going to set y'all up now. I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life for the better. But in order for this to happen, I gotta die. Now, this is not a main point, but this is sure worth mentioning. It's a gem. In order for them to get the helper, Jesus had to what? Boy, that's a great point to learn from. Jesus understood, young people, that in order for life to be better, sacrifices have to be made. That's what Jesus understood. If I'm going to make life better, there are certain major sacrifices that must be made. A sacrifice is when a person is willing to put to death something of great value for the improvement of other people. If my children are going to be better, there are certain things I need to sacrifice. You see this great building that we come to worship the Lord in every week? In order for this to be here, somebody had to make certain sacrifices. Young people, that's a principle that we need to understand. Sadly, many young people are living average. They don't have an edge on life. You know why? They're not willing to make certain sacrifices. So many young people in our day and time want the easy route, looking for a shortcut, a get-rich-quick scheme. They see the little clips on YouTube. Did you get your $6,000 refund? And you want it. It's $6,000 out there for me, every American. And you just, oh, man, I need that six G's. Looking for an easy play or come up. But Jesus understood what we need to understand. If you want improvement or better, certain sacrifices got to be made. What are you willing to sacrifice to be a better young man or better young woman? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice an extra 30 minutes a day to study so you can get the grade you need to get? Or are you just going to say, look, I'll pray about it, but you're not going to put the work in? Now, you're talking all this big talk about what you want. What type of sacrifices are you making? Because a lazy person talks and don't have no desire. What type of sacrifices are you willing to make? Are you willing to have your mouth shut just so you can have some peace? What type of sacrifices are you willing to make? Let me just be quiet so me and my spouse, we can just have some peace. Let me just keep this to myself so I just don't stir up no drama. What type of sacrifices are you willing to make? You could say it, you could do it, but are you willing to put it to death? What sacrifices are you willing to make in life? Are you willing to put back an extra $25 every check so at the end of the year you can have something that you've been asking God for? Or are you just going to keep taking that money to Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, just wasting money? It ain't that you ain't got the money. You're just not willing to sacrifice. Man, I need to lose 15 pounds. But it ain't gonna just fall off. It ain't gonna just fall off when you keep eating them Doritos. You don't exercise. Ain't nobody telling you got to be no Peloton commercial. You ain't got to be like, you know how they do on the little, you ain't got to do that. All you got to do is just acknowledge God and let him tell you what to do and be willing to do it. Look at my question I got up here. I hope if you take a note, you write it down. What are you willing to sacrifice in order for blank to be better? You willing to sacrifice so your marriage can be better? What are you willing to sacrifice so your relationship between you and your mother can be better? Because both of y'all headstrong. Both of y'all like to be right. Both of y'all got a degree in arguing. Both of y'all got a degree. Good argument. You got it from her. And y'all clash. Y'all ever seen a daughter and a mother just clashing? And you be like, y'all more the same. But somebody got to be willing to shut that mouth. Even Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, the first thing you need to do is take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take up that cross every single day. And then come follow me. There are certain things, young people, you and I will never grasp unless you learn the power of sacrifice. And so he says, I'm willing to die just so y'all can be better. Jesus, you willing to die to give me an edge? Yeah, that was the plan. And did he do it? Yeah. Which is another point. Whatever goals or plans you set, you need to strive to complete them. Don't just say, I'm going to do. Put in the effort and what? Do it. He said, look, I got to die. This the plan. I got to die. And it was tough because it got to a point to where he even asked, Lord, if it be possible. Lord, this is a road. But nevertheless, Lord, your will, not my will. Whatever you put down to paper, be determined to make it happen. Follow the example of Jesus. That was the plan, and he did it. He did it. He died. Tell somebody, he died for you, and he died for me. And so when he died, guess who he sent? He stuck to his word. He sent the helper. He sent the Holy Spirit so his disciples could have an edge. We're going to conclude today's lesson by giving two truths about the helper. Because the helper of the Holy Spirit is who God wants us to be led by this year. Number one, notice he says in John 16:7, y'all still with me? I will send who? I got it in English. Let's try it again. I will send him to who? I will send him to you. First truth, the helper is a God-sent person. Third person of God, the triune God, the Holy Spirit, or the helper. The Holy Spirit is a person. I just can't see him. But it's the Spirit of God. Get this, young folk. A person, especially when you consider the Holy Spirit in Scripture, he knows, he feels, he teaches, he moves, he speaks, and does other things as well. He's a him. The Holy Spirit knows not some things, but all things. He God. So he knows what you and I don't know. He knows how many things? All things. I had told the Lord years ago, I said, Lord, well, let me tell y'all the whole story. Y'all got a few minutes? So when my grandfather died, and I went to Virginia to the house, and he had some belongings, and my grandmother said, look, whatever you see that you want, you can have it. And so I was going through his stuff and packing things up, and I found this ring. And, man, it was shiny, and it was nice. I thought, ooh-wee, got me a nice little ring. And I took the ring, thinking I had something. And I wore the ring. And wore the ring to church one night. And somebody, I ain't going to say no names, but somebody noticed the ring and said, oh, what's that on your finger? I said, oh, yeah, this, you know, it's a little something, something. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make it sparkle and show money, you know, just a little something, something. And they just looked at it and said, oh. I said, uh-oh. That's not a good oh. So I went and had the ring looked at, and they told me, it's a nice looking ring, but it ain't worth nothing. And so I said, well, Lord, my desire is to have a nice piece of jewelry. And I said, I don't never want to go through that again. No, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing for someone basically to tell you, you know, what you got, it ain't, that ain't it. I didn't get offended. It was the truth. It was the truth. But I put the little ring up, sad to say, I still got it. I just didn't wear it no more. And so years went by, and I'll never forget where I was when this happened. We was in a church service in Thomaston, Georgia. And Bishop was up teaching and preaching. I can't remember what he talked about, but during the message, the Holy Spirit told me, I got a ring for you. It's time. I said, what? I got a ring for you. So I was just so excited. I heard from God. I went home and I prayed and I was asking the helper, all right, I know your voice, a stranger I don't follow. You told me you got something for me, what I need to do, where is it, this, that, and the third. He told me exactly where to go to look for it. He said, it's going to be at this particular store. I said, okay. Well, what am I supposed to do? Because I know it's going to cost something. I just didn't know how much it was going to cost. He said, no, just go and look and see. So I went to the store, and I walked in there. You know how they do. Can I help you, sir? And I said, I just want to browse and look, see if I see anything to catch my eye. And sure enough, it was right there. I said, oh, wow, look at this piece of jewelry. And she said, yeah, we call that the Super Bowl ring. I said, for real? She said, yeah. She said, let me tell you about it. We had this ring custom made for a man. But for whatever reason, he called and said he didn't want it. And so we trying to sell it. I said, oh, really? I said, well, how much do you want for it? And she told me, and in my mind, I was like, okay, Lord. And so I said, you know what? I'll call you back. Went home, prayed. I said, Lord, this is what they want for it. What do I need to do? He said, this is what you do. You give them this today, and then you turn around and pay this right here. Got the instructions and went and did exactly what he told me to do. And I got the ring. And I got paperwork on it. And it's real. And it's worth more than what I bought it for. But the testimony is he knew what I didn't know. I didn't know. But he knew. And this ain't it. This ain't it. But when I wear it, you know that's it. He knows. Tell somebody the helper knows. He feels. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can be doing things, thinking a certain way, talking a certain way, but the Holy Spirit be letting you know, you out the will of God. You are out the will of God. And if he stay grieved long enough, he'll leave. He teaches. Tell somebody, the Holy Spirit, he teaches. He'll teach you when to talk and teach you when to shut up. He'll teach you. He'll teach you how to treat a woman, how to get a woman, how to keep a woman, how to treat a woman. He will teach you. He'll teach you how to dress the right way. He'll know your style, but he'll teach you how to dress. See, some folk think the Holy Spirit just for church stuff. No, he's for everything. He'll teach you how to write rhymes, how to make music, how to make money. He will teach, the Bible says, all things. He speaks and he moves. Man, he is awesome. He is awesome. And he wants young people to live with this advantage. He don't want you to consider Google when you have problems. He wants you to talk to him. When you have a sore throat, he'll talk to you about how to get that sore throat better. When you got a sinus headache, and it's just throbbing. He gets grieved when his people just run to the cabinet and pick up an aspirin. You know, he'll speak to you on what to do. So when your body has an ailment, he'll tell you what to do. That happened to me this week. Sinuses have been draining all the way down to my throat. Y'all got a throat? And my throat started getting hoarse to where it was affecting how I speak. Couldn't even give my wife no sugar. I said, no, nah, my throat right now. Look how y'all looking. I said, Lord, what do I need to do? And for a few days, guess what? He didn't tell me nothing. And so guess what I didn't do? Nothing. But then he said, look, I want you to go in there and get this right here and do this. Did exactly what he said, and within the hour, my throat was healed. He'll speak to you, young folk. He'll speak to you about where to go get a job. He'll speak to you about where to go get a car. He'll speak to you about where to find a house, where to go to school, who you should marry, and who you shouldn't marry. He will speak to you. But the Bible says, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. Who could use a helper like this in your life? He'll speak to you directly or indirectly. I keep having these seizures. He'll tell you what to do. I can't sleep. He'll tell you what to do. He awesome. He is awesome. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. And he'll come in and dwell. And the first way you're going to know he in there is he's going to speak in another language. Number two, and finally, the helper is your counselor. Somebody shout counselor. The primary or one of the main meanings of helper is someone who aids, assists, or counsels. You have to mature to want God's counsel. When you're having problems with your wife or with your husband, if you're married, you have to be mature enough to say, Lord, what do I need to do? Because if anyone know how to get to your spouse, it's God. You raising hard-headed children, he'll counsel you. He'll counsel you. You got a teacher that's hard to work with, he'll counsel you. It does not matter. If you got more expenses than you do income, he don't want you stressed out. He will counsel you on how to carry yourself until the situation flips. Man, for a while, for years, we went through and we were spending more, had more expenses than income. And I was begging for a blessing. Send somebody, Lord, for that Luke 6:38. And he didn't do it. Not when I wanted him to. Not when I wanted him to. But instead, he let me sit right in that situation so I could learn. See, you have to learn, the Bible says, how to be low and how to be high. And so I had to learn. And I'll never forget this piece of advice. through all of the stress and all that we were going through. And I was doing the best I could and just trusting God. And one of the things was I was getting frustrated. I said, I'm getting tired of these folk calling me for their money. I want to pay them. I don't have it. I'm short. And I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, look, them folk just doing their job. They supposed to call you. And the light went off. I was like, you know what? You're right. That's their job. And the Holy Spirit just told me, look, you call them when I tell you to call them. They gonna call you every day, but you call them when I tell you to call. Man, that changed my life. I said it changed my life because they kept calling me, but I was like, I ain't answering. I already know who it is. But he got me to the point that he said, look, they doing their job. I know you won't pay what you owe, but I just want to teach you. And I would just move when he would tell me to move. I would call him sometime. I said, look, I need payment plan. Can you help me out? And they was like, no, we need this money today. He would say, look, just hang up and call back. So I would hang up and I'd call back and I would be talking to somebody. And they say, yeah, Mr. Baker, we can work with you. I was like, praise the Lord. Because I don't know what they was on who I just talked to. But they was on something. He'll counsel you. I'll never forget one time I went off on First Lady. Why y'all looking surprised? Have you ever went off on somebody? So why y'all like, Pastor Baker? Man, I went off on. Now, this has been years. We had an argument. I went off, slammed the door, and left the house. No, I went outside to cut the grass. I didn't go nowhere, but I left the house. And man, I was out there cutting that grass. And the Holy Spirit said, you were wrong. You need to go apologize. Man, I heard him just like I'm talking to y'all. And y'all see how she's standing there with her head up? Like, that's right. Man, I cut that lawnmower off. I went back in that house. I didn't say God said. I said, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said, and I shouldn't have slammed the door. Will you forgive me? She forgave me. I said, thank you. And guess what? I went back to cutting that grass. He told me. Now, imagine where I would be if I was just out there cutting the grass. And you're like, you know you're wrong. You need to go apologize. But I was like, so? She was wrong, too. That's childish. That's immature. He counseled me. He told me exactly what I needed to do. Tell somebody he'll instruct you, he'll empower you, and he'll persuade you. The question is, are you childish or are you mature? When he tell you, you don't need to hang around him. You don't need to hang around him. Are you so childish to where you say, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. No, that's what you say. I done heard it. I can handle it. I'm strong enough.